Our message today is called Abba Father, and we'll take a little bit of a break from our discipleship series, and I think we probably started that about a year ago, and there's like about 40 different video clips that go with that. At any rate, we'll take a break, and I think there's about maybe 9 more, 10 more, something like that, and we'll just get through those slowly, because I want you to just kind of meditate on some of the work that goes with it. So this one, this message here we've got is Abba Father, and it's kind of neat, because when we start looking at the three scriptures that speak about Abba, then we're going to be looking at some other scriptures and then relating that, you know, to us in our walk. So to me, it's important that as we go through scripture, that there's a purpose to it, not just hearing that scripture, but applying the scripture to our lives and understanding the relationship that the close relationship that we have with God. So let's begin with prayer. Father Almighty, it's a special time to be able to look at your word. It's a time where we can meditate and open our minds to be able to hear and allow the Holy Spirit to work upon us. Each of us are different ways of understanding who God is, but it's just really important to be able to know that you want that true understanding. So help us to have that very thing today as the Holy Spirit delivers the message and teaches us and shows us what's important within this. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so the Abba Father, we're going to start with the first one. I'm not necessarily going to go in order in terms of how it is in Scripture. I'm going to go to the first one last, actually. But the one that we're going to start in is going to be in Romans in chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. It says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And it's kind of neat in the sense that when you're looking at this particular verse here, for those who are led by the Spirit, believers, right? Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are not like you were before you accepted Christ. Why? Because you now know the revelation of the truth of the God and the fullness of Him. And by that, it means that you really decide not to do some things that maybe you were doing as a non-believer. Right? And whatever that is, it's different for each and every one of us. We, as believers, are here to please God, to do His will. And when we're non-believers, we're pleasing ourselves, our wills. And as we have accepted this, so that we're led by the Spirit, led by God, to be able to do things that please Him. And it talks about not being a slave. And it's like, because we are sometimes so bound up by rules that are within this world. And I say that, we all have rules to follow, and I get that. But sometimes we put rules on ourselves that if I'm to be a Christian, I can never cry in front of a crowd. Or if I'm a Christian, I always have to be strong for somebody. If I'm a Christian, I have to be memorizing verses. If I'm a Christian, you know, you put all these rules on there. And then you become, like it says here, you know, like a slave. Sometimes to what it means to be a Christian. But what this scripture is basically saying, it's not that you're going to be a slave to God and doing His will, but you come into the kingdom by being His son or being His daughter. There's an adoption process in there that God adopts us and takes us out of that foster home of the world and brings us into the kingdom of God. And I in my mind, I've never been in a foster home. I don't know what it is, and I'm sure there are some good ones, but you always hear those horror stories of abuse that goes on in foster homes because kids don't have an opportunity to be able to defend themselves. And there's adults that will take advantage of that, either just by making them work or you know, the adults get all the money and the kids get hardly anything, you know, out of that. You know, there's just that type of abuse and neglect sometimes within the foster homes. But that's not how God treats you. God says that as you come in into that adoption process and that you become His child, that you get to call out, and you call out, you cry out, Abba, Father. That means that you have a special relationship with God. So special. And it's like, I think I was, the book, The Shack, maybe some of you have read that before. And there's a section in there where this guy, you know, he goes into this camp where his daughter was killed and stuff, and God meets him there. God always called him, "Oh, you're my most special child." And it's like, how can I be your most special child when there's all these others? Well, it's like, it ends up being everyone is God's most special child. And that's the type of concept that God has with individuals in His family. And so when we call out, and it's not, and even here it says not even when we just call out, but when we cry, Abba, Father. Sometimes when we're hurting, we cry out to our Father. Sometimes when we got so much joy in our lives, we just cry out, Abba, Father. And the whole point is that you're just reaching out to Him. And you there's something that you just want. You want that connection with God to be able to, just continue that relationship with Him. And that closeness that you have, right? That you can cry out whenever. And you know that God will hear you whenever you cry out. And that's the type of relationship that God wants with you. Even in that reading that I had from Hosea, God continually reached out to the Israelites, "Come back to me, and I will restore you, I'll forgive you of all that stuff. I'll do it through kindness. I'll do it through love. I'll do it through miracles," whatever. But the Israelites refused. And can you imagine the rejection? They do not want to call God Abba, Father. They want a God that's whatever it is that they want. Let's look at another verse here. In Galatians 4:6, it says, "Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So we look at this aspect here. Remember, because we are His sons. That's through that adoption process that we looked at in the last scripture verse there in Romans. And then God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Who's the Spirit of His Son? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. So the very Holy Spirit that's in the heart of Jesus is the Holy Spirit that's in our heart. And it was that Spirit, and when it talks about the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of like what they call an intercessory individual in our body or essence of who we are. Because when we talk to God, sometimes we don't know what to say. We don't know how to call out to Him. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? He prays for us. The prayers that need to be prayed. Why does He do that? Because He's in us. He's part of us. This is who we are. Right? Our spirit is connected with God's Spirit, who in that Spirit is the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. It's like, do you get the connection that God wants you and wants you close? So close that He's willing to come. And then when we say the heart, we don't mean that little pumping thing there. I mean just the essence of who you are. You know, what drives you? Obviously, the blood gives a life to what we have, but life cannot be there without God's presence being there. So in this area here, we've got the essence of the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Jesus Christ calling out through the Holy Spirit to God. And this next scripture verse, That's what we're going to actually be looking at when Jesus went to Gethsemane before he was crucified. And I want you to look at this, and I want you to be looking out how Jesus cried out to the Father, right? In Mark 14, 32 through 36, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." These are the words that Jesus is saying, right? Because he knows what's coming up. That crucifixion is not an easy thing to do, right? It is a horrid death. And not only that, you know, the trial that's going to come up, and the beatings, and the crown of thorns, the mocking, and all of that stuff is coming up. And this is the very essence of God and his people, the Israelites, doing this very thing to God. Remember in Hosea where he said that the people refused to repent? Here, people refused to recognize who Jesus was. And it's got to be so sad. And he said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Jesus calls out by the Spirit that's within him and says, "Abba, Father." That if this can be taken away from me, if there's some other way, please allow that to happen. But don't let my will get in the way of what you want. Where did he get the strength to be able to say that? From God. From the very Spirit that rested upon him, that allowed him to be able to go forward with God's plan. Now we know there was no other way because there had to be a sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. And there's no way that we could pay for the sins of our lives. So God says, "Because I've adopted you as my child, I'll die for you. I'll pay that price. So that you can be with me." That voice that cries out, "Abba, Father," is the same voice that's in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You can cry out to God anytime. And if you don't know what to say or whether to say, if it's being said right or if it's within God's will, then you let the Holy Spirit cry out for you. That's a gift. Non-Christians don't know that gift. And I'll even tell you, there's some Christians that don't take advantage of that as well. They try to do things on their own, by being a good person, by doing this and program at the church, or to be able to institute something else, and you know, and they sacrifice things, and it's like, "Oh, I'm a good person." No, you're not. But what you've got is God in you that cries out, "Abba, Father," so that God's will is being done all the time. So we're going to look at some sections in Matthew there. Not really, again, in order of how it goes, but it's just the way I wanted to put it together. In Matthew 7, 9, 11, it says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to him who asks them?" Is this a reflection of crying out, "Abba, Father"? Of course it is. And we can understand the concept that if for some reason, you know, in our world, you know, from the human kindness and stuff like that, that if a son, you know, asked for a Ferrari for their first car when they're 16, probably isn't going to get it. But they might get a 1980 Impala. And one guy I know, this is kind of funny, Jim Wall, do you remember him? Well, he was pretty funny. I think it was Jim, maybe it was somebody else. I don't remember now. Anyhow, I think it was him. But his dad painted his car, gave him a brand new painted car. It was an old used car, but it was painted brown. But he painted the bumpers bright orange. Everybody knew whose car that belonged to. No question in the parking lot whose that was, right? And no question in terms of who it was when it was driving down the road 60 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. And it's like, I thought it was pretty cool. I think it was Jim Wall, but maybe it was someone else, but I apologize if it was someone else. But the idea is, like, I really like that concept, you know? And there it is, like the father giving something to the son that they need, but making sure that they're going to use it properly, right? Because, and every cop knew that too. But we can understand this thing, right? That you want the best for your children. We are the adopted children of God. God wants the best for us. So you know what He gives us? He gives us Himself, the Holy Spirit, to reside with us. And it's really cool. That's really what it is. When we talk about that, then how much more will your Father in Heaven give gifts to those who ask for Him? Ask of Him. Let's look at this one here in Matthew 7, 21, 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is hard. This is extremely hard because there is power in the name of Jesus. And that when the name of Jesus is being used, power is released, really. The point is that as churchgoers, if you want to call that, or people who understand Scripture and stuff, we can know who Jesus is. We can read Scripture about that, and we can, like I did one time when I went through and read the Bible to find out what it meant to be a good person, right? And completely missed the whole Jesus thing that went with it. Because I was looking at, what did I have to do? How should I act? How should I respond? And as you read through it, you'll find lots of stuff in there that's all about that. But as I was reading through that, I missed the whole point of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Scripture here, that's exactly what God's speaking about. Those people that use church or use religion or use the name of Jesus to make them look better. But Jesus says, I don't even know who you are because you have never called out Abba, Father. And do you know why you never called out Abba, Father? Because you never had the essence of the Holy Spirit leading you. Don't be just a good person. Be a person that's led by the Spirit. Be a person that cries out, Abba, Father. Be a person that wants to be able to do the will of the Father, even at the sacrifice of our own will. You see, God knows you then. Because you truly are a son, and you truly are a daughter. That when you want to do the will of the Father, above and beyond everything else, but you don't have the strength to do that. That's why God gave the Holy Spirit. So that we can have His strength to carry on through that. And you can see this in Scripture over and over and over again. How about Ephesians 4, 20 through 23? That, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put your old self, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Right? You're not to be, as a Christian, I always, people who've come to know God, and it's nice to have their testimonies in terms of, you know, when they met God and what it was like to be able to have that moment where you experience God. And your life changed. It's a pivotal point in your all of your life and everything that you did. And you just realize who God is. 20 years later, that's still all you're talking about, is that moment where God did it. I mean, it's great. But you know what I want to know? How are you today? Are you living more and more for Christ? Are you able to discern the voice of God when there's a huge crowd out there telling you to do this, to do that? Can you hear the voice of God in amongst all that loud noise? Because if you can, and if you're obedient to that voice, you truly are, you know, Son of God. And that's that true righteousness and holiness is in there, and you are, in essence, like God because you're doing what God wants you to do. He calls you His own for a reason. But if all we're doing is just churchy stuff, and then we forget about God as soon as we go out those doors, then God doesn't know you because you have no relationship with Him. God wants that relationship. He's made every opportunity there for that to be able to happen. And you know, and it's so neat to be able to do it, because here back in Matthew 7:7-8, He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. For the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." We look at this and say, "Oh yeah, I just got to ask God to win the lottery. It says there right in Scripture. That's all I've got to do." But if you're asking as the Holy Spirit would ask, "Abba, Father," you would be asking to do the will of God. And everything that you ask within the will of God will be given to you. Everything that you seek within the will of God will be found. Every door that God wants you to open, because it's His will for that door to be opened, will be opened when you ask. Are you then really listening to the God? Yeah. Because when doors start opening, And things start happening, that is powerful when God moves like that. That is unbelievably powerful. And it's not just that you're blessed by it, but all of those around you are blessed. Your family, your friends, even when they don't know God, they'll be blessed because of you. Because God wants to use you as a witness as to who God is. And if God can use Hosea in a time where all the people are rejecting God, He can use you this time now. When you seek, when you ask, and when you knock on the door, are you doing it within God's will, or are you doing it just within your own will? Pray about it. Meditate on that very thing. Are you crying out, "Abba, Father," or are you saying two words that should never be put together? "No, Lord." That doesn't work. It's always, yes, Lord. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for this word today. I thank you for bringing it here today, and I thank you for pulling us from wherever we are and bringing us to this spot here. We appreciate your word. We appreciate the meaning within your word. We appreciate the Holy Spirit and the gift that you have given us of that sonship and that daughtership to be your child. Help us to be responsible, to be able to understand the value of that. That our lives are not the same as what they were before. And that we live differently. Not in the sense we wear different clothes, but what we do is that we live for God instead of living for myself. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.